Well, Tomas, you were chairman of the organising committee, and big job, big undertaking, but the general reaction anyway since the Irish Open has concluded is has been extremely good. What has been the feedback for a start?
The feedback really has been massive, really. The reaction, people were very impressed with it, and they felt that we did a very good job in what we produced, to be quite honest about it. When we sat down at the start of the year, we analysed what happened in 2010, and from there, we decided we said we'd go on the same template as the 2010, and we'd improve certain areas.
What did you learn from 2010 that you corrected this year? What were you disappointed in the previous year?
Well, on the course side of things, we put a new first tee. We felt the tee on the first was just needed to be pushed back another 26, 27 yards. And the purpose of that was because we felt they were driving it across the corner and it was taking the tee shot, the lake and the shore out of play. And it was also bringing the players up onto the second tee, and it was tough with spectators. And the other thing on the course we wanted to improve was the rough. We had to have a better rough in the area, that if they were off the fairway, that they were punished, and it made it more difficult for them to control the ball going into the greens.
Bring us back, Tom, and to your committee. When you sat down first, when did you kick off for this year?
Well, we actually did not, because of the withdrawal of three as a sponsor in 2010, we were not assigned the course was not assigned as the venue until about last November, early December. So what we did then was really we got together and we analysed. My committee was made up of two of the main chief stewards, which was Paul Downey and Dermot Walsh, two very good guys, two former guards, and they were excellent in the security and the stewarding of the operation. And then we had the officials, which was made up of the captain, the lady captain and the president. And then we have obviously we have Dave McIndoe and the pro, Dave Keating.
I imagine, Tom, that it was flat out from the word go, and you'd be meeting on a regular basis. And you're a busy man, you're travelling up and down to Limerick where you're based, and you're married with a family. The whole thing, did it take up? How much time of your life did it take up?
Well, I actually thought the first year, which was 2010, a lot more time-consuming and a lot more stressful because, to be honest about it, we were thrown in the deep end and we hadn't done it before. But this year, we had a good base to what to improve on, and I didn't find it as stressful this year and as time-wise either. But we were meeting definitely every 2 weeks. And different committees then. There was various different committees, the Greens Committee, the House Committee, which Julia O'Donoghue does a very good job on. That's the clubhouse and around that area, making sure it's presentable and whatever else has to be done in that area. Then there's the Greens Committee, obviously the course, and in general. And then there was obviously the Paul Downey's area and the Dermot Walsh's area, where they were dealing with the stewards, the marshals, and the volunteers, really, which is made up actually of 600 people, which is huge. And you would never pull off an Irish Open unless you had the help and the help, really. And, the people put the time in to make sure that this event went smooth.
I'd imagine two things, Tom, would be crucial. Would be the course itself and how it played, and the greens, of course, which Dave McIndoe was in charge of, and then the crowd control, because the crowds were up thousands from last year. Those two areas, they'd be a big worry, I'd imagine.
You would, absolutely. And obviously, you want to make sure that when you have 86,000 people going through the place, which is a huge... I mean, after the British Open, there's the PGA Championship in Wentworth, and then the Irish Open. That's how high the Irish crowd is in when it comes to attendances. And the most important thing for us, really, was to make sure that after the week of the Irish Open, that the course is not banjaxed, as in it's still presentable the following week and open to the public for green fees and members.
In the line of the weather leading up to it, we had a lot of rain in the lead up to it. And how did the whole thing transpire weather-wise for you? Was it very good? Was it excellent? Or could it have been different? Would you have prepared it different? I would imagine, Tom, that it was ideal.
It was actually perfect this year. Last year we had a very, very wet winter, which is now I'm talking about 2010 again. You had a very, very wet winter, and then it followed up with a drought for 2 or 3 months, and it seriously interfered with the grow-back period after the winter. Whereas this year, you had a lot more consistency in rain, and up to about 10 days ago, it was making a lot of rain, and it was easy to get the grass to grow and to have what you required, the standard for a European Tour event.
Crowd control now, what was the big plan in that?
Well, the big plan there really was to get the people in, obviously, and from the gate in, to keep the spectators behind the ropes and crossing fairways, the crossovers, make sure that was properly manned, and make sure the players and officials weren't held up in getting from tees to greens, and obviously that is a huge part of it. The year before we did have a small bit of problems on the, we'll say the road, which is the road from the entrance in, bodies coming from the Tinted Village and the crossover from 16 to 17. And in fairness, when we sat down there with Maurice O'Mara and Paul Downey and Dermot Walsh, we had a serious look at that area and how we would improve it. And I think this year was a lot better, really.
Another big area, Tom, that I'm sure you'll agree with, was media coverage of the whole thing, because it was all going to revolve really about what was going to be reported from it. So the media side of it was absolutely massive. I know that even Radio Kerry had their own men there reporting Colm Kelly, but Sky Sports and BBC and all the newspapers and everything like that, that was another huge area to make sure that everything ran well there and that you get a good report about the whole thing.
I think actually we got rave reviews, actually, to be quite honest about it. And I think it was massive, for not alone for Killarney Golf Club, but for the town, the hotels and the whole community in the area. And obviously at Killarney as a tourism destination, I mean, it really put us on the map. And the pictures that were shown from Sky and from RT, I mean, you'd really, if you were up any other country or if you were up the country, you'd want to come to Killarney and to see where this place was if you had not been here before.
This time last year, following the 2010 Irish Open, I sat down with Dave McIndoe, the head greenkeeper, and I spoke to him about it. I had a kind of an idea what I was saying because my own son worked back there for over 10 years as a greenkeeper, and his job, of course, was that was the whole thing revolved around Dave McIndoe and his men and his team, because they were up in the morning at 4 o'clock. So, can you give us an idea about the background there?
Like the background to the Dave McIndoe and his team behind his staff, in all due respects to them, they were up at 4 o'clock every morning. They cutting tees, cutting greens. After play, which was finished usually around six, they had to do the same thing again. Sort the bunkers, put divots back in the fairways, cut the fairways, and obviously cut the greens again. The greens actually during the Open were being cut twice a day, and before the Open actually, I think they were cut 3 to 4 times a day, to make sure that the speed and et cetera, was at the European Tour standard.
This time last year, when I was talking to Dave, there was a bit of problem with the deer. There was a few of them jumping around the greens in odd time. Any problem with the deer this year, Tom?
Yeah, we did. Same story. I see a lovely picture actually in the paper on Monday, the day after the Open, with Rory McIlroy passing up the second hole and two deer on his right hand side looking. Rory was looking over at him and they were working away as if nothing was going on around them.
I suppose one of the downsides of the whole thing was that there was none of the Irish players in the shake-up the final day, even though it didn't make that great difference. But if you had two Irish players leading the field coming down the 18th or something like that and coming around to the last round, that would have really capped it. Why, in your view, did the Irish players and the stars, they didn't do too good?
I actually think the expectation by the Irish crowd and the expectation, obviously, on them to perform in their home Open really puts pressure on them. And I think that was a factor as well. I mean, Darren to miss the cut, Padraig Harrington missing the cut, and Paul McGinley was amazing, really, to see the three of them. And then you had Rory and Graham McDowell, who never really got into the title contention, which was a bit, and from our side, I suppose, would be a small bit disappointing, because obviously if you had them on board, it would have added an extra little bit to it.
Yeah, but you can't have everything, Tom. You can't if things are going well enough. Now, reading the papers and listening to radio and television, everything, everybody's saying that it should be in Killarney again next year. Killarney are open for it. They're willing to take it. I read Joe Welchin, the Kerry man, this week, and he says that Killarney should be the permanent home of the Irish Open. What are the chances of next year, and will there be a sponsor coming in?
Well, obviously, there is talks of the tour are talking to some to a company as a sponsor. I think, personally, it would be great if they came back again for a third year, especially with a big title sponsor. Killarney is an ideal venue because of not alone the golf course being so good, but also the town itself and the hotel structure is brilliant, and you won't get any better. I remember talking to Paul McGinley one of the days in the practice range over the last week, and he telling me that it's common for them on tour to have a 45-minute drive from a hotel to the golf course, which when you look at Killarney, for this hotel from where they were, it was 6-7 minutes. And I mean, you can't beat that kind of an operation.
Yeah. And did you get a chance to speak to Rory McIlroy and Padraig Harrington and those lads? Yeah. Give us an idea what kind of a chat you had with them. What did you discuss?
Like, just at the start of the week, you'd always get around to each one of them from my position, and you just make sure that the course is exactly what they're talking about and what they're expecting it to be, and the facilities, and if there's anything there we as a club or as a town could do to improve situations. It can be done before, you know, and you do that at the very start of the week, Monday or Tuesday. When they get to town first, I remember having a couple of pints, one of the nights with Darren Clark and another night with Graham McDowell. So you'll get an insight very quickly about what's lying ahead.
Yeah. Any chance you'll let us know what you were discussing?
We were obviously discussing, Darren's big win in the British Open. And it actually, we were in McSweeney's Monday night when he got in straight away. And it was just about his great win at... he'd be about the same age as myself, so it was great to hear some fella of his age, and if he's playing about to say, I remember playing with him as a young fella, so it was great to see him after all those years getting his rightly reward.
Oh, he's a young man, though. It's just you're two young men. Come here. What looking back now, Tomás, what has been the downside? Was there problems? And there's problems in everything, of course. What if he got it next year? What would you say? We can't have this again next year.
Well, obviously, maybe you make one or two more changes to the course, maybe an additional tee box here and there. And obviously, you might even grow the rough another little bit, make it another bit harder. And other than that, really, I don't think we could do much more with it. From this year, I actually was very impressed this year. I thought the course played very well. And the reports from the players when they were leaving, was that was great. The venue was great. The course played very good. The weather obviously was a factor this year. And obviously next year you'd be hoping that one of the Irish would contend on the final day.
Yeah. Now, you won't be able to answer this question, but financially, Tom, does it mean a lot of money to the actual Killarney Golf and Fishing Club now? Will they have made money? You don't know what the financial situation is, because, but does the club make money out of this, or do they lose?
Well, to be honest about it, to get a course to the European Tour standard, it costs us nearly about $200,000, to be quite honest about it. And that's made up of, we'll say, the extra overtime for the staff, number one. Number two, additional machinery, additional fertilisers, etc., etc. And obviously the course has to be cut. And obviously the course is closed for 2-3 weeks, period. And revenue coming in is not what it normally would be. And obviously there is a part of it that we have to look at. But you hope to get it back in return in through green fees and additional new members down the line.
There's no doubt at all about it, that will happen. And there was a great response about the town, about the actual town of Killarney, that the atmosphere and the buzz. And I saw one of the lads mention about the crack and about it. Of course, the same thing applies for Munster finals and things here. Billy Morgan always says that Killarney is the place to be. So the actual infrastructure of the town and the way the town is going and the work that the Urban Council are putting in the cleanliness of the town and the street, entertainment and all that went on, it was absolutely unbelievable. You hardly get it in the continent.
You wouldn't know. And I must admit, I'd like to thank Mike Buckley, who actually was the chairman of the Killarney Liaison Committee. Now, that committee was made up of the Chamber of Commerce, the hoteliers, the vintners, and the town clerk, Mike Leary. And the purpose of that exercise really was to work with the civil defence, the guards, and obviously the Summerfest was involved as well the week of the Open. The Summerfest ran, and everything was running concurrently with each other, which was great, really, and amazing for when people finish spectating on the course. And they could come to town and enjoy the festivities in and around the area.
Do you hope it will come back next year? And are the chances of it coming back next year, are there? What percentage would you talk about?
I'd say we have a 90% chance. Yeah. I might be a bit plucky now making that comment, but I'd say we have a 90% chance. When I see the way things went, I think the tour and obviously a new sponsor will find it very difficult to go elsewhere. It's hard to beat what we just put... what we achieved last week, and it's great for the town, it's good for Killarney.
Yeah. Finally, Tom, you were a handy golfer yourself. What handicap were you?
I was a good golfer one time. We should.
Yeah, what were you said? Give us an idea about what. You played for Munster. Did you play international? Give us an idea about yourself.
I did. Wish I played boys and youths. That was a good couple of years ago. And I think the lowest I got to was actually one handicap one time. But I did play in my younger days with Paul McGinley's and Darren Clarks, and that did help me in my role as chairman of the championship committee, because I was able to have a chat with them and discuss the various things that we needed to do for during the course of the week.
Where did you go wrong that you didn't become a multimillionaire like the rest of them?
Where did I go wrong? I just wasn't dedicated enough with you.
Seriously, what did you win, Tom, in your career? What were your big events?
Well, as I was reminded by the starter and the Irish Open during the Pro-Am, that I actually won the Leinster Youths a long, long time ago.
The Leinster Youths, yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. Come here, finally, you're married to a great Legion woman.
Yeah, I am, yeah. I am married to a Legion woman, that's right. And I have two boys who play for Spa. And,
what are their names?
Stephen and Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah, because you're married to Sheila McGillicuddy, and Sheila's father was Dan McGillicuddy, Lord of Mercy, who was a very great personal friend of mine. He was a Valencia man, came living in Killarney. He was a painter, Dan was, and became a great Legion man, became a selector and a trainer, and his sons and all played with the Legion. And we all thought in the club that you'd follow suit and send your two young fellows to the Legion, but however, that didn't come about. But anyway, he was a lovely man. It's nice to remember these people. Tom, it was a great week. A busy week.
Yeah, very busy week. And before I finish up, Wish, I just want to say I want to congratulate Maurice O'Mara and his wife Claire on the birth of a new baby boy. I think the boy was born on Sunday night around 11 or 12 o'clock. Which was, as you know, Maurice did an amount of work for the Open. He's our general manager behind, and his commitment to the Irish Open is immense. And I just want to congratulate the two of them. And a new arrival.
Well done, Tom, and well done to everybody behind in the Killarney Golf and Fishing Club, because we must add the fishing, because it is a golf and fishing club. And the moral of the story is, if you want to become a major winner, don't be like Tomás Kelleher and dedicate yourself more to the game.
That's correct, Tuisha.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.